Blog Talk Radio. Afternoon or good whenever you are listening to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome to, wait a minute, I think I have 17 episodes. Whoa. Anyway, welcome to episode 17 of Looking for My Give a Fuck. I like the way I do that. Hosted by yours truly, Shirley Elizabeth Shepherd. I don't know. I just felt like saying all that. How's everyone doing? Wow. Gosh. I'm sick. I just been getting sick these days. I don't know why. However, usually right before the show or the night before the show or before the show, I'll put together a nice little hot toddy. Just add a little my daily wine, but my hot toddy helps out. This time I was able to put some lemongrass tea I just found. So I think I'm going to be good for most of the show, not all of the show. I have no choice. I have, 28 minutes to be good. But if I start sneezing and all that stuff, I completely apologize in advance. Anyway, going back, how's everyone doing? I didn't do the show last week. I was running around. I had a lot of things to do. I really kind of missed the fact that I couldn't do the show because I look forward just talking, even if it's to myself, for 30 minutes. Gosh, I'm really beginning to like this whole concept about Looking for My Give a Fuck. And for those of you who are new to my show, Looking for My Give a Fuck is not a bad thing. It's a conversation I had with my family, my mother and my brother, who are liberals and I'm a conservative, a few months ago. And I was looking at their table and they say, my brother says, what are you looking for? And I'm like, looking for my give a fuck. And we really turned that into, because we were really not just talking about liberal conservatism. You know, we're all kind of grasping for something to care about completely, you know? And so it just kind of took a life of its own. And so I do the show. So the show really is from that incident with my mom and my brother. Anyway, if you guys know me and know the family and you know how our conversations get, and I'm the weakest link when it comes to conversations. So I just kind of slid under the table, but this time my eyes slid under the table and I got caught. But it's also shortly thereafter, my brother, bought a book for me to read, and I do listen to it almost every day by way of when I'm in the car, and that is by Eckhart Tolle. And no, I'm not getting any money off this book or anything like that. If I was, I'd probably give it back, because the what I've gained regarding knowledge and self-awareness and wanting to share is much more than anyone can pay me. I know people are like, you're crazy, in this world you need money. Really? You probably do need money to eat. But here and there, that's another show, because I had something to add to that. I think Bob Marley said you can't buy health and you can't buy life, I think. And so what I just thought about that, about money, money is an important factor, but feeling good inside and feeling self-worth and finding something that wakes you up in the morning, it's usually, well, it could be done by a dollar. Anyway, another story, another time for that. But this is from between my interactions with my mother and my brother. My brother bought me a book, and it's by Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. I think that's the new one. I have it in my description here, and sometimes I can find it or not find it. I don't know. Anyway, the reason I like this particular book, he's also the author of The Power of Now. Many of you have read that. He thought that was amazing. This particular book gives you tools, which we all need. We've all been looking for finding self through meditation, which is a good start, counseling, drugs, you know, we're all looking for something. And what's so great about this particular book that I find great is that it stops me in my track. It stops me and it says, why did you default to that? Why did you default to that statement? Why did you default to that thought process? Why? What? Whoa. Whoops. Hold up. And when you're ready for it, let's look into it. But it's not looking into it heavy like, oh my God, everyone's terrible in the world. No, it's really looking at your past and when, and how important it is. And the things we do as parents or as sisters and brothers or aunties and uncles, these are little things that we do or big things that we do, and we don't understand the impact that it may place on us positively. And a lot of times as we get older, we tend to hang on to the negative. Oh, my mama did this, and this is why I'm this way. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of that. But I got a quick story about everyone in my family that I can remember who has done something, and I can't wait to share this. And it really is the core of who I am from all these things. I want to start with, I'm going to start with mommy, right? She's going to kill me. Anyway, mother used to dye her hair a lot. I know I'm getting in trouble. And one particular night, she dyed her hair, and it came out a really weird color. She wakes me up, and she says, let's go to CVS or Rite Aid or Savons, whatever it was back in the day, and she had to buy this hair, you know, new hair color, and I watched it go from, I believe, purple to a proper color. And it was just so fun, just laughing, but then watching her create, you know, normal colored hair, right? That's one thing. Another thing was my mom, she goes, get in the car, come with me, let's go hang out. I'm like, well, this is really great. We're going to have family time. No, she wouldn't we went and bought a car. I mean, she does these things. She just gets up in the morning, we get a new car. What was the other thing? She, you know, as an executive working for the county for all those years, she's principal, vice principal, whatever. She just always looked great and is amazing. But every 6 months, she would take me to, I think at the time, it could have been JCPenney's, who had these really great suits women would wear. And she'd just pick up like 10 suits, stack me up with the suits. And from there, then we'd go to lunch. And then she wonders why when I go shopping, I'll take two of everything, right? But these are things that I remember. And it's just, there's so many when you have a mom like my mother. But those things, I really think about it, because sometimes when I do go in the store and I like 8 colors of everything, I'm like, I got that for my mom. Or when I dye my hair the wrong color, she gets really worried because, you know, she sees it. She tells me how to fix that. You know, or just, you know, when I think about buying a car, you know, she's like, if you can't go in there without having to put any money down and buying a car in 15 minutes, you don't need to be in the car lot, which you can best believe I don't go to the car lots often. But anyway, that's just with mom. And there's a lot of other things. But, you know, my relationship with my mom, it's so different that when I have seen her do miracles, I just thought, oh, my God, I'll never be like that. So a lot of times watching my mother do things, I was more in the space of I can never do instead of I could just enjoy. So I am now experiencing that, the enjoyment. And one day we'll do a complete show on relationships between a mother and a daughter. I mean, we're talking about alpha females and geniuses. I'm not the genius. But the end eagle and what that looks like and how I'm so happy that we're still on this realm to share and grow from each other, believe it or not. Okay, so the second one, is my Uncle Kenny. Rest in peace. Mother used to get us in a car from California. We would drive to Minnesota, Sioux City. I mean, just like in the blink of an eye, let's just go. So we finally got to Uncle Kenny's house and Aunt Janie's house, and they were in St. Paul, Minnesota. And my uncle, who's the finest man ever, seriously, just my whole family's beautiful. Anyway, as soon as we get there, here goes, like, it's my mom and my brother and my two brothers. I don't know if my little sister went that time. Anyway, we're hungry. You can best believe it. And by the way, they have the biggest house. It's the best house in the whole world. And they have this little, I never knew what a nook was, like a window sill kind of nook. I sat in that thing all day long because it was really cool when I figured out what it was. Anyway, I watched my uncle. It was incredible. He just, as we're all there, he just made these sandwiches. I've never seen anything so beautiful. It was like watching a symphony. It was just da 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 da. And by the time I got the plate, it was so pretty. I was like, I don't want to eat this. This is so beautiful. I just found out recently, speaking to Mom and Aunt Jeannie, that was what he'd love to do. Now, this is what I'm saying about the importance of what you do in front of your children. That, to me, or any child, to me was such, I was in the moment. I was in the love of that sandwich with him. And it was embedded. Every time I see someone making a sandwich, even I just went to Subway this morning, I still not like my Uncle Kenny, you know what I mean? So just think about that, those little things that when you love something, boy, people can see it and children remember it. Next. Aunt Janie. I just told her this recently. Aunt Janie, you have to understand, I'm one of the most beautiful women in the world, beautiful children, married to my uncle, and just very, very proper. Belonged to all the proper organizations, just very busy. Just you know what, if you want to be kind of like almost perfect between her and my mom and my Aunt Joanne, just hang out with them. You might get about maybe 75%, but I think they got the 100% all put together. But anyway, Aunt Janie said, come on, Sissy. Oh, that's my nickname. So for all of you who didn't know, my nickname is Sissy. Don't be calling me Sissy. No. But come on, Sissy, just hang out. And it was just me and Aunt Janie. And I'm not sure where we went, but we've got to the place. My angel, sorry. When we got to the place of the, what, car wash. I never been in a car wash. I know you guys are thinking, what's wrong with me? Man, we went through the car wash and I'm giggling because things are hitting the window. And I think we almost you pay for it and you have to roll the windows up really quick. So we had to do that. And I'm laughing and Aunt Janie's laughing at me laughing. And I'm telling you, that was the best 5 minutes just with my Aunt Janie. There was no one else. Her kids weren't there. All the other kids were. It was just me and Aunt Janie. And we laughed. And Jimmy, I was just so intrigued. And I know that's something small. I even shared that with her recently. And she just was like, she didn't think anything of it. But me, it was just the best. It, I don't know. I think it's something about just being in the moment with whoever you're with. And it's so authentic and fun. And again, I'm sure afterwards we did something amazing, like go shopping or something, because I was her sissy. I have one more to share. I'll have more to share. I have something with all my family. Oh, wait, I'll go to my Aunt Joanne first. Then I have to talk about my three cousins. I'll never forget that. Anyway, so Aunt Joanne. Oh, I think Aunt Joanne is my mom. I really do think Mom and Aunt Joanne are finally going to say one day that Aunt Joanne gave birth to me, you know, because I'm so much like Aunt Joanne. Well, I want to be just like her, I guess, in a sense, because the littlest things in the world, I just honor, like our fingernails. So you're saying, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Aunt Joanne and I had just done our nails. We just painted our nails. Very much like Mimi used to paint her nails, too. Mimi is my great-grandma. And then Aunt Joanne, our nails are wet, right? Oh, my gosh. And Aunt Joanne's like, okay, wait, well, we have to make up the bed, you know, her bed. I don't understand what the bed had to do, you know. I'm thinking, Aunt Joanne, we just did nails. Aunt Joanne taught me how to make up the bed with wet nails. And let me tell you, it was so prim, proper, perfect. The bed was made up and our nails were dry and we went to step two. I'm sure it was hair. But it's just those things. It's like she just taught me how to do it, you know, and I can still, if I have wet nails, I can make up a bed. Now, again, you guys are probably thinking, Shirley, what does that have to do with anything? It has something to do with everything, because when you begin to realize where your defaults come from and where your instantaneous silliness comes from, it's from those things. It's from those things you sometimes forget to think about, because we're going, you know, because there's so many bad things that family, you know, shit happens all day long, you know. It's like I can't hold on to the fingernail of, you know, my fingernails and make up the bed 24/7. But I sure would focus on, well, my cousin did this or that, which could be negative. What I'm trying to say is this: your family, however it works, the good and the bad are going to be within you, culture-wise or your environment. And all that. That means all the good that I've given my son, I've given him some bad. Okay. This book allows, the tools in this book allow you to go, wow, where did that come from? And you know what? Every good you have, there is a bad too. And you know, you just kind of intermingle, you just become okay with it. You really, really do. It is so important. Another thing, I want to talk about my three cousins who are the best cooks in the whole world. That's Lee J, Ansa, and Yvonne. Again, these are Shirley moments. My show, I could do this. I'm in New York. My cousin Lee J lives in Brooklyn. Oh my God, just so you guys know, he had put his eggs and the milk outside the window. And so I go in the kitchen. I'm like, Lee J, there's milk outside. Yeah. So in other words, for all of you who know about New York, he was like, really, Shirley, that's where we put stuff. Anyway, but this time these are three great cooks. And all I remember is it was maybe they cooked a couple of times or maybe once. It really didn't matter because it was the funniest conversation I ever heard. It was the three greatest cooks in the kitchen working together to make this amazing meal. And the stories that were coming out of there, that's not right. That's not like you put that there. You put that there. Oh, my God. I laughed. I got to sit back and enjoy the greatest cooks, brothers and sisters. And just, it was not topping each other. Just had one new Lee J, you know, as a chef, I do believe. He just knew just a little extra there. And then Yvonne would put her stuff in there. And then Anta, we're going to do this. Anyway, I got the chance to watch this beautiful orchestra, I guess, or symphony of beautiful cooking. And as much as they bitched and laughed at each other, we sat, and it was just absolutely beautiful. I still didn't understand there was a difference between pans and pots and all those things. And then Lee J has pans that are hung up. They're very expensive. So I wasn't allowed in the kitchen, and that was okay with me. So those are just some things. So I think that I would just like to challenge everyone to kind of go back into some of those times where you really got to sit back and really see the beauty and all the craziness and bring it back to life. You know, like, I don't ever think I told Lee J, Ansa, or Yvonne, you know, how I was just in awe. I was just in awe in this small kitchen in Brooklyn, and I'm getting ready to eat like a queen, and I really did. I'm very full brat, even when I think I'm not. Okay, so I think I had one more good one before I go into a very amazing topic. Okay, so anyway, again, I'm just going to reiterate, life has been getting heavy. A lot of my friends and I have been having these conversations where we can't quite explain what's going on inside of us. Again, I keep saying anytime there's a sudden stop in your rhythm, and then, you know, everyone says, okay, you can go forward again. It's kind of like you're in the middle of the 20th mile when it comes to the marathon, and they say stop. Okay, a year later, okay, you can start again. I mean, come on. Our bodies are, you know what I mean? Anyway, I believe that COVID, even before COVID, with all the political changes and things, that our bodies started going, what the hell's going on? And so we've lost some foundation. We've lost a lot, you know, just because the world stopped and we were told to look at who we were, who we are, right? It didn't stop and say, okay, COVID, here's how you get through this. And here are the rules and here are the regulations. And here's, you know, they didn't teach you any of that. They really, really didn't teach you much. But I had been one that was working on myself for years because I am completely complicated. One, my hairdresser called me. What did she say? You're beautifully complicated. And hey, that could be a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a thing. It's complicated. But I kept looking at myself. I kept working with myself. And so when COVID hit for me, all the things that I was doing to stifle. I'm trying to use that word well. I guess I'm not getting it out. All the things that I was talking about doing, COVID hit and said, now are you going to do it? So my test was very different than others. Most people, COVID hit and they had to start from a very, very sudden what the fuck. And anyone that's going through that, please know, you feel like you're alone. Don't be. You know, when I get down and out, I'll just not talk to anyone for 8 years or whatever the case may be. But please don't, because everyone is around on it's like solid quicksand. Yeah, I know that doesn't make sense, but that's what it feels like. It's like a solid quicksand. Like all of a sudden it's solid, but it's kind of mushy. Look, it's solid quicksand sand. I don't know. But we just are, you know, our foundation is kind of like, what the fuck? So when our foundation's screwed up, there's one thing COVID couldn't fuck up completely. It's where we came from and who we are and our distance, if we are distant from family and friends. You don't have to do anything about it. you don't have to go and, amend friendships and all that because of COVID. No, all you got to do is acknowledge it. Wow. I wonder what you're not supposed to go back into counseling or self-growth to beat yourself up, because who would want to go back to beat yourself up? This book allows you just to say, hey, where'd that come from? Do I want to deal with it yet? Nope, not yet. You know what I mean? It's like, ooh, they call me motor off. Where did that come from? Could I talk a lot? Oh, okay. Let me go back to that. You know, this is not about stop who you are, change. You must change. No, it really isn't. It's about where did that come from? Is it a good thing? Or is it something that's enhancing me life or hindering? You know, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Because once you start understanding these egos, the is, and what it can and cannot do, and that you have some source of control. Again, if you read this book, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, you'll see those tools. And it's very comforting, because right now we're all looking for something to hold on to. We're all looking for some type of foundation that's not constantly slipping or changing. You know, we always go back to the Wiz or the Wizard of Oz. He kept changing the color. I could not have been in that movie. The color is now green. The color is now red. No, I ain't doing a movie no more. I'm not changing from red to yellow. Nope, done, out, right? But that's what's kind of happening. And a lot of us now, a lot of my friends, are having some issues with their business. You know, it's kind of like they want it to be perfectly put out there because they're afraid that this could happen again and everything's going to be taken away. Like, you know, COVID shut everything down. Well, in all businesses, it's never perfect. I should know. I started so many and I failed at even greater number. I wouldn't say failed. I just didn't succeed in that particular business. And now what you have to do, because COVID has allowed a lot of people to fear moving forward, now we just got to push it. Got to do it. Even me. There's some things that I keep pushing back and I'm like, God damn it. There's no excuse. Got to push it forward. Fear is always going to be there. Another COVID, another lockdown, that's always going to be there. The only thing that you have is to push what you can push. And if you get locked down, that's okay. Use the tools that you're learning now to, you know, go back and figure out how to be the best that you can be under those circumstances. That's all you have. But I know one damn thing. Everybody in this world has a grandma, grandpa, somebody that they have remembered that when there was a hard time, they could go, and I call it rest on their bosom, or to sit in their lap, or get help, get someone to hold on to. So even the darkest of dark, if we can try to remember to go back to that space and place, it will give us fuel, I believe. I mean, you know, we just have to believe there's something greater than us. There's you know, I know everyone has their religious preferences and all that. I just believe there's just something greater. And whatever that greatness is, if you are still alive today, it's because you are entitled to continue on. And then the next day, if you're not here, in my belief, there's another realm, and it's probably going to be a little complicated, but it is what it is, but it's going to be okay. Now, I have something to share. I have 5-6 minutes. I think here, and I want to share something, and it really goes hand in hand in bringing this all together. We all are looking for that passion in life. We all are looking for a job or a business or something that will bring this solitude of perfectness within self. And I did use the word like that. How do you have perfect within self? Is when you're in your passion. Okay, because when you're in your passion, when you're doing something that you're passionate about, even if someone says you have to work on XYZ, it's not a bad thing. It's okay. I'm in my passion. Man, if I could coach a lawyer 24/7, I would just love it. I mean, you know, that's my passion. Okay, so as most of you know, my son is a firefighter. An incident took place about a couple weeks ago, maybe. And it just turned out I was taking a route different than I would normally travel to work that day. There was a lot of traffic, and, you know. And as a result of there being a new route, I said, you know what, I'm already going to be late. Let me just take my time. And I began to put the moisturizer on my face. I didn't get a chance to. Didn't quite get a chance to put my makeup on that morning at the house. So anyway, I'm going down the street. A couple cars are going fast past me. I think nothing of it until 10 seconds later, boom, 3-car accident. One of the cars, kids were stuck. And they were young adults. It was right by the university, CSUN University. And I happened to stop because I witnessed it. And being in a legal profession, I'm always there. Because to be honest, I was like, normally I'd have been like, you little fuckers. And, you know, but for some reason, you know, I was calm that day. And in fact, though, that morning, it took me 10 minutes to find out what jeans to put on. That never happens. You know, it wasn't a special day, right? It was just something that maybe I didn't need to be there 10 seconds later or whatever the case may have been. But I did watch because the cars were smoking and I did pull over. And several men tried to pry open the door to get these young adults that were in the car. They couldn't get out. I mean, several people. So, I'm waiting, you know, because we're all waiting. We're wondering, is this car going to blow up? Now, I do know that my son was working at that time. He was to have rotated out from working with the Northridge Fire Department. In fact, his fiance told me he was rotating out. So I'm sitting there, you know, okay. And then the fire department comes. And this young man jumps off the truck. And you know your child. Without my glasses, I knew that was my son. And he jumps off the truck because he's a rookie, and that's what he's supposed to do, jump off that truck and get out there. And he had some type of a crowbar, and he was the first person that was a firefighter status to pry open that door. He moved that door, but I'm going to be honest with you. It took them having to saw, pry, take the top off the fucking car, excuse my language, 20 minutes later to get those kids out. Then, when that was happening, other firefighters came. My son, he immediately goes, gets the fire extinguisher, whatever. He's moving. And he looks at me, and I look, because I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? And then I'm watching him in motion. I'm watching him, boom, doing what he has to do, because, you know, he's the EMT, and, you know, triaging, and I'm just kind of watching. And the lady that was hit, right, you know, she just dropped her son off. Her son was a very young adult. Excuse me. I don't know how old her son was, by the way. And she's crying. She's nervous. And I said, well, you know, you're in good hands. My son is right there. And she said, thank God for your son. Other people on the side said the same thing. You know, God damn, he's out there. He's trying to get them kids. It was serious. It was amazing. It's not often a mother who, I was a little nervous. I was 10 seconds away. I'm thinking, oh my God, my son could have been getting me out of there. And so I had to go through that for a minute. But once I got away from that, because, you know, here's where the shift happens. A mother will always take care of a child. But there are times your child will take care of you. That was one, because I was so afraid. Wonder if he had to get me out. You know, oh my God, how terrible. But the other greatest thing I got to witness was my child in his passion. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever, ever seen in my life. If you are lucky enough to have passion for something, fight for it. If you are an individual that gets to see someone work in their passion, look at it. It's a glow of life that we need more of. I'm proud of my son. I'm proud of all of us for looking for that passion. You know, just because he's in his passion doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't have hard days, because we all do. But he gets to wake up and go, I love it. I challenge us all to start looking in that passion and encouraging others and helping others and pulling people to the point when you see them working, they're happy and they're glowing. Kind of what we got to do. We've got to get that passion back in life for all of us. So that's what looking for my give a fuck is about. And again, I'm very proud of you, Quan. I'm proud of my family. I'm proud of my friends. I'm proud of everyone who's listening, who is just doing the best that we possibly can. And damn, I love this show. Anyway, next week, I really want to have a special show. I want to get some friends on my show, so I might extend it to an hour. When I get into it, it's just so fun to share, and, you know, hopefully other people will come on and share with me some great things and just keep this going. Passion, passion, passion. It's a beautiful thing. Until next week, I'm signing off and telling everyone, reminding everyone to what? Make good memories and stay great. Take care. If I can turn on the music. I can. I got it. All right, everybody. Bye.